I officially have no idea what to do with Ryan Braun. So what do you think? What should Ryan Braun owners do? Three home runs yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, it's got everybody's attention. It's got my attention. There was a theory, and I'm trying to remember who it was that was espousing the theory, that he was motivated by all the booing.
Yeah, and that was a big part of the storyline.
Yeah.
But whatever, I mean.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
he got booed like, everywhere.
He got booed more last night than I think he had before. But, you know, normally I would just kind of fluff off that kind of storyline. But it's like I'll latch on to anything at this point to try to make sense of guy who was producing nothing and then hit three bombs.
See, I hate that that was the storyline because I was looking for something a little more concrete because he talked about how it wasn't bothering him so much in spring training because he wasn't taking batting practice. So I'd hoped he'd say something along those lines. Well, I skipped batting practice today and so it wasn't really hurting me that much, but those weren't the kinds of questions he was getting asked, apparently, because they didn't show up in any of the stories. So, yeah, I think what's interesting about this is obviously Adam and you, as someone who owns him in at least one league.
Two.
You were trying to trade him aggressively and not getting much in return.
Right.
Which, I mean, you shouldn't trade him, obviously, because he still had plenty of appeal. But now coming off this, like maybe if you are worried about him, this is the perfect time to trade him. I'd still go to my rankings and see where I have Braun ranked and not settle for anyone behind him unless it's with, you know, a good secondary player there. But it's obviously concerns are somewhat lifted the day after the three-homer game.
Apparently, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I'm not sure if they're the only paper reporting it, but the one I'm reading right now, instead of wrapping a layer of padding around his right batting glove, he put additional padding inside the glove. Quote, it feels a little more similar to how it normally would if I didn't have to wear that little pad thing and everything else we've been trying, end quote. Continues, the less invasive anything is, the more comfortable it is for me as a hitter. Hopefully we found something else that works.
Well, now there's something.
Yeah, that's
maybe
good.
So I mean, now, like, I got offered Stanton for Braun and Houston Street last night in a deep league, 14-team league where everybody needs closers. So we thought about it. We don't know what to do. But Braun for Stanton straight up, I think I might do that.
Because I don't have any faith in Street to stay healthy.
Maybe not be that good.
I would have taken that.
It's the 14-team league with 30-man rosters and closers are just...
I feel like the side trading Braun should be the one getting Street as opposed to the other way around still.
So Stanton for Braun straight up, would you do that?
I do think I have Braun just behind Stanton, so I'd be okay with that. But I go back to my... Like, I was the one downgrading him the least of the three of us, I feel like, and I'm sticking to that. I think there's enough... There's a strong enough case to be made that he can come up with solutions to this because it hasn't been like constant pain dating back to last June. You know, it's come and gone, and it looks like he found something at least for one night that worked. So
yeah,
continuing to tinker with it, obviously he can still get results, and you don't want to undersell him. That's the worst thing you could do.
I think the thing that makes it so complicated is Braun, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but I still feel like Braun has a chance to be one of the best players in baseball.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to... Well, a lot of people wouldn't think that because of the PEDs. I still think there's a chance for that to happen, and I don't want to sell that guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the idiot who does that.
Yeah. No, I think there's a chance, too. I also think there's a chance that not only does he not get back to that one healthy, but that he aggravates this injury.
Yeah, of course.
So that's why... You know, I certainly agree with Scott's advice that if you can get value above where you have Braun ranked or projected, you take it right now. My question where I have some uncertainty is, do I have him ranked too low? I dropped him to 10th among outfielders. So I've got him
ninth. So
yeah.
Only one you have ahead of him who I don't is Puig. Oh, no, wait.
Yeah, I was going to say Rios, I assume, too.
You have a few changes there, too. Yeah, Rios. Not sure who I have instead of Rios, but... it's not like, well, I don't know. I'll let you finish. Sorry.
No. I mean,
I'm gonna let you finish.
That's
if I can go back a few years there.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's Kanye.
Oh, sorry. Good call.
So that was pretty much it. Just that's where my uncertainty is, you know, am I being too pessimistic now? Because that was obviously a ranking that I set before this game.
Here's what I want to avoid, because Adam, can you remember some of the bad offers you've gotten for Braun?
For Braun, not really, but there have been like, you know, 4-player trades that were like basically replacing Braun with Michael Kadire.
Well, that's, you know, that's obviously
like giving me a little bit better of a pitcher than the one you're asking back, but also giving me Kadire and getting Braun, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, which to some less experienced times might look good on the surface, particularly the type of start Kadire's off to, but that's a panic move. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we got a lot to talk about. Yesterday was just awesome for fantasy baseball. Really good storylines. Yordano Ventura did not disappoint. For some reason, I don't know if this happened to you. I don't know if you noticed. The only game I didn't get last night on my extra innings package was the Rays Royals. And it was basically the only game I wanted to watch. But both pitchers look great from the highlights I saw. And Ventura's throwing 89-mile-per-hour changeups. Threw a lot of strikes, threw over 100 miles per hour several times.
Yeah, as long as he's doing that, then the 89-mile-per-hour changeups are good.
What have you been calling that? What have we been waiting for?
The national holiday?
Yeah.
The national holiday.
It lived up to the hype.
It should have. Everybody should have been off to, well, it was a day game the first time I said that, so I thought everybody should have been off school and work to watch Yordano Ventura.
Yeah.
But, so everybody working a night shift last night should have. Take off work.
You know, that was a 1-0 game, probably a pretty darn good one. But I've got a bunch of homers. I got the worryometer. A lot of injury news with Matt Moore on the DL. That one looks fairly serious, perhaps. Ryan Zimmerman, arthritic shoulder. And great the trade, of course. So let's get to it. Noteworthy homers, other than Ryan Braun, tell me who kind of changed things, if anything, for you. Last night, Corey Hart hit 2 home runs against the Angels. He's got 3 home runs. He's 62% owned. Jose Abreu and Avisail Garcia homered twice at Colorado. Tyler Flowers homered at Colorado, and he's off to a good start. And as Herc mentioned, Monday, he's healthy. Shoulder was hurting him last year. Brandon Belt hit his 5th home run. Melky Cabrera hit his 4th home run.
Boy.
Jose Bautista hit his 4th home run. And Starlin Castro homered twice. 2 3-hit games in his last 3 games.
With the exception of that Bautista home run, they were all significant, I feel like. The one that maybe stood out most to me was Corey Hart with the 2 home runs, because he's coming back from 2 knee surgeries and was a 30-homer guy before that. 30-homer guys, as we know, are scarce these days. And we weren't exactly sure how that was going to if he was going to pick up where he left off, if he was going to translate to Seattle, Safeco Field. And now he has 3 home runs and might be on the verge of a Corey Hart hot streak here, which are always nice. So, if he's out there in a mixed league, only 62% owned, you probably need to put in a claim for him.
He's only first base eligible.
But he's supposed to play some outfield for them. I don't know if that's been happening yet, but that... The plan ultimately is for him to be their right fielder once they feel like his knees can handle it.
Would you rather have him or Chris Colabello, Casey McGee?
Oh, not even close.
Right. Same Hart. For me too, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right, Al, anything for you? What stands out there?
Yeah, like Scott said, a lot of these do. Hart's 2 homers for me were the biggie because I wasn't quite sure if he'd come back anything close to what he was before. But after that, I have to say the Avisail Garcia homers, even though they were at Coors Field, really caught my eye because I expected very little power from him this year. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. Because, again, he gets to play half of his games at a ballpark. It's not quite Coors Field, but it's not too far behind in terms of homer friendliness. So that was encouraging. And then Starlin Castro, that was a big surprise, big pleasant surprise there. And might be time to move quickly to snap him up, because if he can get back to where he was a couple seasons ago, he could be a nice bargain for you, and it may not stay that way for a long time.
Does he need to steal bases, though? Because he didn't do that last year.
Not a lot. He's got that's a problem and a concern, because it's not only that he didn't steal a lot, but he was really inefficient. So he needs to, I think, give you about 20
right
to really get back the value that he had a couple years ago.
Unless he becomes more of a power hitter, which is possible as young as he is.
Sure.
But yeah, I agree. I'm not exactly anticipating 20 homers from him, so he needs some steals.
We got to talk about Melky Cabrera.
And yeah, definitely got to talk about Melky.
Yeah.
Can't skip him over. 82% owned, 314, four home runs, only five RBIs. He's leading off, so.
But yeah, already more home runs than last year for Melky. And he's credited the health, which is kind of what I was assuming. I was assuming was the issue for him because he played with a tumor on a spinal cord last year and it affected his legs pretty much all year. Spent some time on the DL with that, and we didn't know the spinal cord thing was going on then. So I think it's safe to conclude it wasn't just the PED thing. That's not to say that didn't have any effect and that he'll go back to being the player he was with the Giants and the Royals, but he's different this year.
Yeah, it's just so hard to know what to make of some of these stretches. Like, I was looking up some previous Brandon Belt stretches. In seven games, so Brandon Belt has five home runs in probably, what, eight games-ish, something like that. In seven games last August, he hit .357, Brandon Belt, with four home runs and eight RBIs, and then he went 23 games without a homer. But he did hit .292 over that stretch with seven doubles.
Yeah.
June 2012, so we go 2 years ago, he hit home runs in three straight games. And then he hit four home runs over his remaining 94 games, which included 72 starts. Who was it last year? Juan Francisco, that every single day we were talking about?
Right.
And then he just faded away.
Well, it could have been Juan Francisco. It also could have been Uni Betancourt, too.
That's who it was. Yeah. It was Betancourt. So
a streaky brewer.
Yeah.
But I'd say the difference between like those guys and Belt is obviously pedigree and the fact that a lot of people were anticipating a breakout season for Belt.
I was almost comparing it more to Melky.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Belt's obviously higher end than Melky, but we don't know. Melky Cabrera is such a mystery.
Yeah.
His career and everything that's gone on.
But I feel like with most of the players on this list, Belt really is in a different category because he hit for such great power as a minor leaguer. And yeah, and I said it several times during spring training and in the early days of this season that, I'd be kind of surprised if Belt took another step forward this year because I really had sort of given up that he was going to become who it looked like he was going to become when he was a prospect. And that's a mistake we can make sometimes.
Right.
You know, give up too soon on a guy who's still pretty young.
Who's a better sell high candidate, Brandon Belt or Ryan Braun?
Sell high, I would say Braun.
I agree. I think there's going to be some skeptics. Well, no, I shouldn't put it that way. I'll just leave it at that. Braun's the better sell-high candidate.
Today on our video show, Fantasy Baseball Today, live noon Eastern, fantasynews.cbsports.com, we're going to have a fun segment. Well, we're going to do some fill-in-the-blank, which should be fun. But also, things we never thought we'd say, such as D. Gordon has more home runs than all of the Kansas City Royals. Melky Cabrera has more home runs than Miguel Cabrera. Three more home runs, in fact. Giancarlo Stanton has more steals than Billy Hamilton. I think that's one of them. So we have some fun stuff for you. Make sure you watch the show. All right, the Worryometer. Let's get the Worryometer out. And, of course, we're grading trades later. Hopefully those trades involve Ryan Braun. I want to see. Yeah. All right, how about this one? We'll skip ahead. Trey Koppel says, 10-team head-to-head points league. I give up Julio Teheran. I get Ryan Braun. A C is average.
All right, say it again.
Give up
Teheran. I have trouble with this.
Give up Teheran, and they rhyme, so this is a real tough one. Give up Teheran, get Braun.
I'm going B. I'm deciding between B and B plus.
Yeah.
I'll go B on that.
I'll go B plus.
So you think, would
I think you'd
rather have Braun.
Found a panicking Braun owner there.
There you go. Perfect. Worryometer, Tyson Ross is walking everyone. He walked five yesterday. He gave up five unearned runs, but that includes a 3-1 blast he gave up to David Murphy, yes. He walked five in this start. He walked four in his first start, and that's been an issue for him when he's been bad.
Yeah.
Ivan Nova gave up 10 hits and 7 runs against Baltimore. All right, we'll do it one at a time. 0 to 10, 10
to drop.
You're going to
break the Worryometer if you overload it.
Worryometer on Tyson Ross.
7 for me. Really, really high.
Yeah, I was going to go 8 because, like you said, when he does struggle, it's the walks. And that was something he looked like he overcame during those 12 starts last year when he had a .293 ERA. And that's what a lot of his draft day appeal was built on. So.
Can't imagine dropping him, though, in anything deeper than a 10-team league at
right.
this point.
Yeah,
right?
Not dropping, but and I have him in quite a few leagues, and I'd say there's a very good chance I'm benching him next week.
Well, in a roto league, I might drop him.
Yeah.
Depending, I mean, I know Paxton left with an injury last night, but if he's still out there or if Skaggs is still out there and you don't have the Sparp appeal in those formats with Ross, I wouldn't be afraid to drop him.
What about Martin Perez? Would you guys drop Ross for Martin Perez?
No, he hasn't been quite good enough for that.
Ivan Nova. I draw parallels to Nova and Ross. They kind of both emerged at the same time last year.
Mm-hmm.
Nova's, and they're both owned in over 80% of leagues. Nova, 10 hits in 3 2/3, 7 runs, no walks, 3 strikeouts against Baltimore. He's got an 8.68 ERA. 10's a drop, 0 to 10, worryometer.
I'll go 10, just because, you know, I'm not putting it past him to bounce back from this, but I don't think he's good enough that you need to protect him if the kind of start he's gotten off to. If I released him and somebody picked him up, I'd be like, okay.
So he's lower end than Tyson Ross.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, and certainly in the points leagues because of the Sparp thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and Roto, to me, Nova is less valuable than Ross. So because of what Scott said, I would put Nova at an 8. But in a way, I'm more worried about Ross because I had such higher expectations for him in the first place.
Gotcha. Lance Lynn, 0 to 10. 2-0 with a 6.55 ERA.
Yeah, he's an 8 for me, too. Just hasn't been good.
When you say 8, it almost makes me feel like you're considering dropping him, or considering dropping him.
Yeah, I think that's like, yeah, 9 is considering, but an 8 is considering.
Okay.
We always have to explain the terms of the worryometer and the worryometer.
It's not
segment.
A great scale. It's not.
I go pretty low. I go 5. He goes through this every year, it seems like, where he's awful for 4 or 5, 6 starts, and then he's Cy Young caliber for the next dozen, and then he's awful again for 4 or 5. And you know, I drafted him late enough not to expect a step forward necessarily, just to enjoy the good stretches when they're there and not sweat the bad ones.
Homer Bailey, 0-1 with a 7.71 ERA.
That's pretty low. 3. I mean, I could kind of say something similar to what I said with Lynn, although it seems like the good stretches are longer for Bailey and the bad stretches shorter. I feel like this happens a lot to pitchers who rely heavily on breaking balls early in the season. They just haven't had the repetition to get them breaking perfectly, and when that doesn't happen, they get hit hard. So I feel like Gavin Floyd used to always be that way too. And Bailey would fall into that category, so... Yeah, pretty low. 3-2.
3-3 for me, too. Yeah, and I've noticed that, too, Scott. Ubaldo Jimenez was complaining about not getting the break he wanted when he got hammered the other night. So,
Alan Craig, 0-for-5 with 2 strikeouts, and he's batting under 100.
Nowhere close to dropping. But I'll say about a 6 for Craig because there were the reports during spring training that there were lingering Liz Frank issues with him. And so I was a little worried already, and then with the really slow start, it just deepens my worries about Alan Craig.
You talked me up from a 1 to a 2.
Yeah.
Not really worried.
Jason Hayward, batting 107 so far. 3 walks, 9 strikeouts, and 1 homer.
This is probably a 1-2. A 1 also.
A 1 also, yeah.
Yes. No homers, but he almost hit a game-tying grand slam for the last out last night off Jose Valverde.
Everybody almost hits a grand slam off Jose Valverde. That's what he does.
But it was to left center, so it was a pretty impressive swat. And I think Hayward, I mean, I guess if you were counting on him taking another step forward this year, you're disappointed by this start, but I was basically expecting him to be the same 260-ish hitting 20-25 homer type, and that usually runs hot and cold from what we've seen from him over the past few years.
I got some support on Twitter for the anoyometer, and this is a case where my worryometer...
I just don't like the way you pronounce it.
Well, then...
Because it makes it sound like it's like something yearly. I think it's going to be the anoyometer.
Anoyometer.
All right.
Yeah, just put the word annoy in there and we're
people
cool.
Know what's going on.
Well, it's
on.
In there. It's in there. I'm just breaking it up differently.
Say the word annoy.
Annoy.
Yeah, annoyometer.
Ometer.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
I agree with Adam.
All right. Well, we could have a pronunciation-ometer and just really get into a deep infinite spiral here.
People love that.
But yeah, I know. But so worryometer for Hayward for me is like a 2, but the annoyometer
it's 11.
It's mine goes up to 11. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it could be pretty annoying. I think we should have a recurring segment called Jose Valverde almost blew a save last night. I think that'll be one of the more...
I think that could be a daily segment.
Yeah, that'll be one of the more frequent ones.
It technically wouldn't have been a blown save.
Oh, that's true.
For what it's worth.
That's true. It was a 4-run game.
Yeah, so, you know.
And it was 2 singles and an error, right?
It was. I think there was an error, yeah.
Yeah, throwing error.
Yeah.
On him.
He didn't get crushed. I mean, the Hayward ball was hit hard, but the others... Well, I guess a couple of those singles were hard. Never mind.
Did
it wasn't great.
Anyone else really stand out to you guys yesterday?
Actually, in a weird way, Carl Crawford did.
Oh, yeah. He's in 5 up.
Well, so there you go. Maybe it's not as weird as I thought, but I wouldn't have expected him to have 3 stolen bases by now.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's some classic Crawford appeal there.
Yeah, but who knows what's going to happen if Puig's healthy.
Well,
Puig
right, the playing time is going to be an issue. So, and again, he may create that part of that solution because he's always getting hurt. But at least the performance he's giving you when he's in the lineup is so far exceeding what I expected from him.
I've got to stick to that Braves-Mets game and probably surprise you with Aaron Harang standing out to me. Second straight start where he allowed just 2 hits. And obviously, I mean, I just completely poo-pooed the first start I'm halfway poo-pooing this
poo.
One.
I was going to say, just one poo.
Yeah, there you go. but I looked at some of the pitch effects data just to see if something stood out as being different for him. His average fastball velocity in those 2 starts early in the year when we expect it to be lower, 91.1, up from 89.8 last year. And 91.1 for him is actually the most he's ever averaged on his fastball, which is saying something, because you go back to 2006, 2007, Harang was a legitimate frontliner, 230 innings, over 200 strikeouts, basically a James Shields-type pitcher. Now, he's 35, and that's a long time ago, so I'm not making any moves based on this observation, but it's caught my attention, and just because the Braves have such a history of, like, getting something out of these pitchers they pull off the scrap heap, I'm thinking like John Burkett.
Oh, even Freddie Garcia last year.
Yeah, to a degree.
Not fantasy relevant, but.
Right. Ben Sheets a couple years ago. It's something to keep an eye on.
Would you rather have Harang or Dubront?
At this point, I think I'd actually rather have Harang.
I'm done with Dubront. You noticed they sent Brandon Workman pitched 4 innings of relief, I think, yesterday, 4 something, and it was great. They sent him down to the minors to stretch him out as a starter.
Oh, all right. Keep him on your radar.
Yeah.
Brandon Workman.
Another potential sparp there.
Martin Perez or Aaron Harang?
Oh, Perez.
Yes, easily.
Let's talk about Yanhervis Solarte. We have a lot to get to here. It's going to be a long show. Yanhervis Solarte is, I think, on pace to like set the baseball record for doubles. He's serious, like right up there. He's got 6, and he's batting .458, and he's 33% owned. Anybody starting to buy it?
I'm still saying Zuelo Almonte. In those deeper leagues, you can pick him up as a fill-in, but that's it. I wrote about it on his player page yesterday, and I'm sure it's filled with venom now in the comments section.
Well,
not even going to check it.
He's going to be mad.
I'm sure people have already informed him, and his mother, his family is spewing the venom.
Al, are you coming around on Emilio Bonifacio?
Well, I just want to say I do like Solarte a little bit better. I think he has legit AL-only value, which I know is faint praise.
I said that. I just said it from, different perspective.
Okay. I was getting a more negative vibe even than that.
Are so you
look,
coming around?
Everybody who plays regularly has AL only appeal.
But more than like hold your nose and I really need a third baseman. And I need somebody with a pulse. Like more
if he played regularly, I said he could put up Trevor Plouffe-like numbers. Does that Like, whether or not you consider Trevor Plouffe a good thing or a bad thing, I usually consider it a bad thing, but obviously he does some things that have value in deeper form.
Plouffe's family all mad, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just keeping it real.
Al, are you coming around on Bonifacio?
Yes. Yes, I am. Just the playing time.
Yeah.
Another case, too, where, you know, like I talked about Belt and kind of giving up on him being who I thought he could be a few years ago. I got so used to teams disrespecting Bonifacio and dumping him and benching him that I really thought the Cubs would just see him as kind of a spare part, but clearly they have bigger plans for him.
And what do you guys think about Yordano Ventura? 6 innings, 2 hits, no walks, no runs, 6 strikeouts against Tampa Bay.
Enthusiasm confirmed so far. No walks is the most encouraging sign, because if there is a knock for him, like most hard-throwing pitchers just breaking into the big leagues, it's that he walks some guys in the minors.
Yeah, okay. Very encouraging.
Only started in 57% of leagues, which I can understand. I think I sat him in one league, maybe start him in another, but you want to see him first.
Right.
So I get it.
Right, I get it too.
But he looked really good. Based on the highlights I saw. Of course, those are highlights. But he only gave up 2 hits.
When he looks good on the low lights, that's when you know.
Yeah.
Got something special.
Injuries, news, and notes, part one. Matt Moore's MRI was inconclusive. He will visit Dr. James Andrews. He is on the DL. It could be bad. We'll see. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Any replacements here that are interesting?
And you're talking about fantasy or real world?
Well, any real-world Rays replacements that are interesting for fantasy?
No, like I said on Fantasy Baseball Today yesterday, if it were Nathan Carnes or any Romero, I'd have some AL-only interest there. But it seems like Bedard is at least the one who's being speculated on. So if that comes to pass, no thanks.
Yasiel Puig was out with a thumb injury. Ryan Zimmerman has an arthritic shoulder, and he's going to have to play more first base. First of all, what do you think happens to the playing time? Matt Williams wants him to be the everyday third baseman, but I finally saw that throwing error that he made against the Braves. And it's like a little leaguer. I mean, he's obviously got a major issue there.
Yeah, I mean, you knew as soon as it came out of his hand, it was going to be an error.
It's actually sad.
Yeah.
So what do you think happens to LaRoche, Espinoza, and Zimmerman?
I think it's kind of like the Dodgers outfield situation. I think it's just they're all players that Williams is going to want to start. He's just going to have to rotate them as best as he can. Because LaRoche has certainly earned everyday playing time.
Zimmerman's working on changing his throwing motion, trying to throw side-armed, which doesn't seem like a good idea. I mean, third base is a long throw. I mean, they're really trying as hard as they can to make it work. If it doesn't work, I think the solution's going to be trading LaRoche. So I don't know that anybody's just going to outright lose value here.
Maybe short term, but not
necessarily
long term.
Yeah.
All right, here's an email from Adam. I've got Zimmerman and Laurie as my third baseman. Laurie's on my bench. I'm worried about Zimmerman's shoulder. Laurie's been less than impressive. Should I drop Laurie for Todd Frazier, Bonifacio, Plouffe, or Ashy? The only other person on my team I'm considering dropping is Tyson Ross. So basically, should he drop Ross or Laurie for Bonifacio, Frazier, Plouffe, or Ashy?
I might drop him for Bonifacio.
Which one?
Ross. Well, I mean, either, potentially, but Ross first. It depends on, I guess, if it's a head-to-head points league or categories. Categories, I would definitely drop Ross. Points, maybe Lowry instead. And maybe not even bother with Bonifacio at all, because steals are the main thing you're looking for. All right, so let me amend my statement.
Okay.
Categories, drop Ross for Bonifacio. Point, stand pat.
And let me just clarify that maybe, you know, every league is different, but Bonifacio is not third base eligible in our league.
Right, and that's the thing that's sort of confusing me about the choices here, is that he needs third base. So positions being irrelevant, I probably would drop Laurie for Bonifacio, but that doesn't help his situation at all, and I don't think I would drop Laurie for Frazier, Plouffe, or Ashy. So I think in this situation, I would just play it out.
Adrian Beltre left with a quad injury. We're going to have to check on that. He's only missed 6 games, Beltre, over the last 2 seasons, but he had the quad injury in spring training. So anything relevant there for fantasy owners in terms of replacements?
Not super relevant, but it definitely gives you a little extra incentive to pick up Donnie Murphy in an AL-only league, because he does have some pop and could be the big playing time beneficiary.
James Paxton left with a side injury, and he was cruising. He gave up 3 runs on back-to-back homers in the first inning. Albert Pujols' ball is still traveling. He crushed it. But we'll have to see on Paxton. But, you know, so far, so good. 3 runs in 5 innings, 4 hits, no walks, 4 Ks. Josh Hamilton left with a thumb injury. Ugh. Colin Cowgill, should we pick him up?
No, I want to be looking to do that unless it was an emergency situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Irvin Santana will start today for the Braves. Josh Beckett will start today for the Dodgers. Is he worth owning?
Maybe in an especially deep league. I'm thinking more a points league where starting pitchers tend to occupy more bench spots and you got to go deeper into the pool. I mean, I don't have much hope for him, but he had surgery to supposedly correct what was bothering him last year, and obviously there's a there's a track record there, and so I wouldn't be shocked if he had a decent season.
Harangue
or Beckett? Ups and downs. Beckett.
Harangue.
Oh, Beckett from the guy who brought up harangue.
Yeah.
Now sticking with harangue. Yep. Jacob Turner won't start today due to a shoulder sprain. Brad Hand will start at Washington for the Marlins. Cole Hamels thinks he'll be back in 2 more rehab starts. Matt Latos has elbow inflammation. He's recovering from a knee injury, and his rehab start's been pushed back a few days.
So, yeah, so much for him getting a start in this week, and I guess that'll extend Alfredo Simone's stay for a while.
Trevor Bauer will start the second game of a doubleheader tonight for Cleveland if you're playing in those daily leagues. Maybe you can take a shot. And Devin Mesoraco doubled twice in his season debut, and Tyler Wilhite wants to know, 14-team head-to-head categories league, who should be my catcher, Zunino, Grandal, or Mesoraco?
Mesoraco.
Mm-hmm.
Let's grade some trades. Part one, Joe Metzler, Beltre, and Kluber for Prince and Sabathia. Beltre and Kluber for Fielder and Sabathia.
I would say Beltre. Oh, I'm sorry, grade the trade. A little slow here.
You didn't tell me which side he's getting.
You're getting Beltre and... No.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's getting Prince and CC.
Yeah, you're giving up Beltre and Kluber. You're getting Prince and Sabathia.
And I'm giving that a C- and would probably give it no better than a D+ if not for the injury issue with Beltre.
Well, I had Prince ranked higher than Beltre, and the pitchers are... You know, I'm not going to make that be a deal breaker for me. I give it a B-. I like the Prince side.
But you think Kluber's better than Sabathia, don't you?
I do, but I could live without him.
But not enough to make an impact. Oh, okay, I see. Bryce Leisamer has a Braun deal. Giving up Sonny Gray, Jake Odorizzi, and Christian Yelich. Getting Braun and Peavy.
Oh, my goodness.
12-team head-to-head category.
Oh, my goodness. A+.
I'll say A-, but, you know, it's a good deal. Do it.
Yeah. What the heck kind of Twitter name is this? There's got to be... Is that my mistake? Did I copy and paste too much? Well, whatever.
Well,
I'm just going to go with the handle.
Yeah, I was going to say the handle.
At SpeakerNation9. Fernando Rodney to get Todd Frazier. Giving up Rodney to get Todd Frazier.
That's a D+.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a deep league and there was needs involved here, but it doesn't look good at face value. D.
How about this one? Troy K. Large, I traded Sizemore and Drew Hutchison. I got Hisashi Iwakuma.
Hey.
That's a, yep. I'll go A+ again.
And, never mind, because I was going to say there was a report I saw this morning that Jackie Bradley Jr. could stay in the lineup, but actually that just would be shifting Sizemore to a corner, not him losing playing time. But he'll get injured.
And Nava losing playing time?
Yeah.
They got to figure out their leadoff spot. Johnny Gomes and Daniel Nava should not be batting leadoff. I feel like one of their center fielders should be.
Maybe Johnny Gomes shouldn't, but I like Daniel Nava in the leadoff spot. He's an on-base specialist without much power.
Does he steal?
Seems like it's... No, but that's 80s baseball.
What year is this,
Adam?
Exactly? Yeah.
I mean, but think about what they had. Well, who led off last year? Did Ellsbury lead off or did he bat second?
I'm not sure.
I think he led off.
But look, I never thought he was a great choice for the leadoff spot either.
Who, Ellsbury?
Yeah, just based on the skill set, because he's not a particularly high on base guy. I see him as more ideally 5th, 6th, 7th. He's batting third, by the way, constructing my lineup. I know, and that's not good either.
It's not bad.
You don't want a base stealer batting third because that's
he's still stealing.
Your power hitters are coming up behind him.
He's
still stealing. I know he is. I'm just saying, we're talking about lineup strategy.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about Ellsbury. I shifted it. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's actually significant. I was reading an article yesterday from Joel Sherman. It said he basically said Mark Teixeira should not be a middle of the order hitter anymore. And if that's the case, when he comes back, I think keeping Ellsbury third, going Gardner, Jeter, Ellsbury makes a lot of sense and is very fantasy relevant for Gardner and for Ellsbury. I think it would benefit Ellsbury.
I think it would too. I think whatever runs he loses by moving down, he more than gains back with RBI. But I think Gardner would be the most significant development there.
And I think Ellsbury might gain more in runs because, you know, Jeter would be hitting behind him if he were leading off, whereas Beltran, McCann, Soriano were hitting behind him if he's batting third. And Jeter's not so good, you know, so.
Ellsbury's the man.
He's playing very well right now. Scott Timberlake says, Jose Abreu and Eaton, giving up Jose Abreu and Adam Eaton. He must be a Cubs fan or something. Getting Coco Crisp and Anthony Rizzo in a points league.
Yeah, getting a Cub back.
That's pretty even.
It is pretty even.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I just feel like Abreu and Eaton are more likely to exceed my expectations than Crisp and Rizzo are. So I give it a C minus.
Al?
I agree completely. C minus.
Billy says, Alex Rios or Matt Kemp to get Bryce Harper.
Either one, okay. Well, it's a good deal for you either way. If you're giving up Rios, I give it a B+. If you're giving up Kemp, I give it an A.
Yeah, and I'm calibrating it downward a little bit. If it's Rios, for me, it's C+. If it's Kemp, it's a B.
Tim Bennett is in a dynasty league. I traded a $23 Cespedes and a $1 Matt Joyce for a $5 Nick Castellanos and a $1 Syndergaard. Tell me how great I am.
Do we have to?
You are good. Yeah, no, this is a really good trade for a dynasty league.
You're losing the best player this year, though.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, that's the thing. It feels early in the year to be playing that much for the future.
I don't think it is. I don't have enough confidence in Cespedes to turn down what could be staple players for me for a long time in Castellanos and Syndergaard. Castellanos, I mean, I'm assuming if it's a dynasty league, it's deep. Castellanos is a starting caliber player.
Yeah, actually, the more I look at it, the more that I do like it. We need to grade it, though, right?
Yeah, well, he just said, tell me how great I am. So.
Oh, okay.
You're check plus. I noticed you weren't as grading as I mean you're actually
great
you're a former teacher,
right?
You're a former teacher. You used to actually hand out grades for assignments,
right?
And grade inflation is a very real thing, I feel like, and you were not contributing to it in this segment. I was.
Well, part
you were keeping your grades pretty low there. Not grading on a curve.
Yeah, maybe it's some of the teacher and me. The Harper one, I think it's just that. I worry, I think, just as much about his downside as I get enticed by the upside. But, yeah, maybe. Maybe I'm just an old curmudgeon.
Al, did you ever have a student just, like, lose it on you because of a bad grade? Curse you out?
No, actually, I mean, certainly, you know, griping and whining. But, no, I don't recall anybody ever totally losing it.
The kids who get upset about grades aren't the kind of kids who are going to curse out their teacher. Let's be honest.
I don't know. Maybe he failed someone.
I do remember there was one guy, but I don't remember what it was about.
And he went off on you?
Yeah.
Did you yell back?
Actually, I did. It was not a proud moment.
Wow, Melchior. Love it. All right, Josh Kutzner gave up Pujols for Jose Abreu and Brandon Phillips.
D+. I don't hate it, but it's not good.
Sorry, I was still thinking about the guy I yelled at like 14 years ago.
You suck, Melchior.
All right, so pools for Brave Phillips. That's a D+. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Okay. Matt Boitano, 10-team roto. I give Trumbo and Jerko. I get Chris Davis and Headley.
Wow. That is taking advantage of Trumbo's hot start there to get Chris Davis. I like it. I mean, the better secondary player is Jerko, which keeps it from being an A+, but I'll give it an A- still.
A-.
Philip Hambly, how about Jose Vera straight up for Trevor Cahill in a 12-team NL-only Roto League?
Ooh, gosh.
Yeah, I think the closer is a lot more valuable. Is he getting the closer here or giving him?
I think he's giving him.
Giving Varus for Cahill, who's been terrible and was terrible last year and probably is just going to bring down your ERA and whip. I hate to say it, Philip Hambly. That's an F.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe he gave up Cahill.
Sending a
got
note
Varus
to your parents. Yeah, well, then it's an A.
Yeah, there you go. Al?
All right, so he's getting Cahill?
Who knows? In our mind, yes, he's getting Cahill.
All right. Yeah, I don't dislike it as much as Scott does. I'll say C-.
And Dickie G traded Brandon Belt and Desmond Jennings to get Anibal Sanchez in a 12-team head-to-head categories league. Belt and Desmond Jennings for Anibal Sanchez. Oh, I don't like it. That's a D for me.
No, I like it better than that. It's a C at best.
Yeah, I'm kind of tempted to give it a C, and I like Belt more than Al. I'll go C-.
Belt and Desmond Jennings?
Yeah.
Those are two potential breakouts.
Well, you like Jennings a lot more than I think either of us
do. Why wouldn't I like Jennings? I mean, he's a guy with a pedigree. He's coming off a down year that we've down. I love this in fantasy. I love a guy who I think has been downgraded too much because of a bad year. Stanton, Bautista,
just a bad year, a bad Desmond career.
But he's so young.
He's not as young as Belt.
It could be a losing trade.
No problem with Belt.
But we're still talking about two guys who have yet to really establish themselves. Belt certainly looks like he's on his way. But, you know, at best, okay, Belt breaking out, and Jennings, who still has to really establish himself for a known number two starting pitcher. That's a C.
Belt was very good last year. I don't think we should completely ignore that. I mean, if he's exactly the same player he was last year, maybe spread a little even more evenly over the course of the year, you're starting him. So,
Belt?
Yeah.
Not necessarily as in a one first baseman league.
You're starting him as your utility, probably.
Yeah, you could. Sure.
Yeah.
All right, five up. One of them is Carl Crawford. I'm going to try to do this quickly here, so we got a lot to get to. Angel Pagan is 82% owned. He's batting .441 with four doubles and a steal. Has he changed your mind at all on him?
No.
I had him as a sleeper this week in the hit parade. Or hitting planner, whatever it's called now. Start sit for hitters or something.
Yeah, that's what I think it's what it says on the page. Yeah. Okay, Grady Sizemore, 81% owned. He went 3-for-4 with the second double of the season. Do you think he's overowned at 81%?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, but I'm at least seeing how he's going to be useful when he's healthy now. Before, I wasn't even willing to give him that.
Michael Morris, 46% owned. He's batting .391 with a home run, 7 RBIs, and 2 doubles. Underowned?
I saw him in the box score yesterday, and I got to thinking, in my score sheet league, I drafted Corey Hart in round 12 when I could have had Michael Morris in round 19. Why didn't I hold out for Michael Morris? But then, of course, later that night, Hart homered twice, so I feel fine about it still. But my point is, Morris is looking like he's going to be a contributor while he's healthy, which was really my biggest concern with him.
Morris or Sizemore?
Morris.
Yep.
And Anthony Rendon is off to a good start. He's 11-for-27 with 3 doubles and a homer. Not a steals guy.
Nope.
Has this changed your mind at all on Rendon, his hot start?
You know, somebody tweeted us, I think all three of us, like a list of players on his waiver wire. And it was a loaded waiver wire. Pretty shallow league.
Right.
He asked me which to pick up. And Hamilton was at the top of the list, and it was a points league. So I said, well, if it's the I want to say Rendon here because the kind of start he's gotten off to and just how much upside I think he has. But I think you have to go Hamilton if it's a two steals league, 2 points per steal league. And he said it's only 1 point per steal, so he went Rendon. And And I agree with that move. I think Rendon has the kind of upside that with this hot start, he needs to be 100% owned.
Wow. All right, then. One down is Jason Castro. Are you worried about him? He's 2-for-20.
A little, I will say. Probably an overreaction on my part. But, you know, he just didn't quite clinch it for me last year, as good as that season was, as a guy who's reliable, because I'd like to see him do it again. It just was so out of whack with my expectations. So, yeah, he's off. If this continues on for a while, it's going to scare me off Castro.
And in the rotation, any thoughts on Jose Quintana, Dan Haran, Chris Archer, or Tim Hudson?
All even better than I imagined. And that includes Haran, who I think I was pretty high on, but really encouraged by how he's come out of the gate. Archer looks like he is the guy that he was late last year, which was a guy that you want to start almost every week. No more worries about Quintana for me.
Would you still rather have Ubaldo than Archer? Because I would.
You would still.
I would, yeah.
I'm with Scott, yeah.
I will scream and yell about it again.
I wouldn't rule out the opportunity of changing my mind a month and a half or 2 months from now. No, because there are pitchers.
That's a long time from now.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, that's where I'm at with it, because there are pitchers that I would say, oh, no, you know, I would, you know, give them, you know, 3-4 months, you know, before panicking because I invested so much, and others that I have, you know, very little faith in. And Ubaldo's in the gray area.
Yeah. You know, I take exception to the whole thing with Ubaldo, the fact he's had two good halves. He's had two best pitcher in baseball type halves. He's had more good stretches than that.
But he's had like three worst pitcher in baseball seasons.
That's true. They're close to it anyway.
I get the upside.
Yeah.
I buy more into the downside than you guys do.
Hey, Quintana was good at Coors Field. I think that's worth mentioning.
Yeah,
no.
That's why you start him every two-start week. I think that's worth mentioning, too.
And I don't like Lincecum. I say it every time he pitches. Some people do. Dan Haran gives me some faith, some hope that Tim Lincecum could turn it around, because Haran seems to have learned how to pitch with diminished stuff.
July 1st on last year, 3.29 ERA, 105 WHIP, 8.6 Ks per nine.
That's really buying it, or do you think? Because
he was
brutal before that stretch, right?
I wasn't until, I mean, these two starts make it a lot easier to buy.
Easier to buy, yeah, but still only two starts. Where are you on Haran?
He's at least up there with Lackey in my eyes.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, pretty equivalent.
Fringy starting pitchers. Oh, let's go to the bullpen. Kenley Jansen blew a save. Greg Holland blew a save. Anything to worry about?
They're human.
Yeah, Holland's off to a bad start, but he was off to a bad start last year.
Last year, exactly.
Jose
that
Valverde.
Worked out okay.
is Jose Valverde. Sergio Santos struck out the side, and Casey Jansen might need a little more time than April 13th when he's eligible to come back. Jim Henderson pitched well in a non-save situation, and Pedro Strop struggled in relief, and Jose Veras did not.
But Strop is becoming one of my favorite closer and waiting targets. I just, you know, I think that Veras is really vulnerable. I could see the Cubs making a switch even before it would be timely for them to trade Veras if Veras really failed to build up his value.
Which I'll assume is the reason you didn't like that Veras for Cahill trade in an NL-only league, just because you worry about Veras.
Yeah, exactly. I worry about Veras, and I feel like Cahill in that deep of a format could be more than just filler. Maybe.
You guys, would you rather have Kyle Loesch, Bartolo Colon, or Henderson Alvarez?
Loesch.
So who's the middle one?
Colon.
Yeah, Loesch.
Martin Perez or Loesch?
Perez.
I'm kind of leaning Loesch here. There's really not much to dislike about him except the lack of strikeouts, but we've made too much of that for him in the past.
Are you ready to give up, if you were in on him already, on Hector Santiago, who had another bad start?
Yeah, I think I am. He's kind of there with Tanner Shepherds for me, where maybe if the Sparp appeal is, you know, the end-all be-all for you, you stick with him a little longer. But this is dating back to last year, his last 10 starts now, 36 strikeouts to 29 walks.
He's having some control problems.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just falling apart for him.
It looks
him.
Like he overthrew it, because he's a lefty who throws 95. So it's tempting.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been really, got to throw strikes.
Before that 10-start stretch, he was looking like must start.
Well, here's the thing. So there are a lot of control guys, like guys who have control problems, like Jimenez,
Ross
Nova doing great, Tyson Ross, Santiago. I feel like you might not want to dump these guys because if they do figure it out and get their control, they could be really good. I don't know how you approach those guys.
Yeah, and I'm planning on blogging on that today.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Watching that Ross start, I made a vow that lasted about 5 seconds of I'm never going to pick up another guy who doesn't throw at least 65% of his pitches for strikes. Because it's just so frustrating. But no, I think you don't drop. You bench.
It's a case-by-case thing, too, I feel like. I mean,
I was going to actually go in that direction, because with Santiago, I didn't have that much faith in to start with.
Yeah, and he was borderline getting drafted. It's Jimenez, it's just a different caliber of pitcher.
In general, is there a thought that maybe control guys who are struggling with control, maybe it's just a mechanical adjustment or something like that. Wait, and then you reap the rewards.
Up to a point, it just seems like there are so many of them who find it for a while, and then they lose it, and they don't really find it. I think of it as Ricky Romero syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to overreact, but I feel like I've been too patient with those guys in the past.
Okay. Well, check out Al's blog.
After I write it.
Yeah, do that. We don't have time for a lot of the rest of what I had, so I will ask you this. Do you think Nigel Morgan has a chance to stay in the Cleveland lineup when Michael Bourne returns?
I don't, but I wish he did. And I guess with David Murphy there, and I know that was another player that you were wanting to talk about that we won't now.
Yeah, well, we can.
But now we will. I just feel like he could be vulnerable, and maybe that opens the door for Morgan, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Murphy, thank you, guys. Anything else? Final word?
No, I'm just Murphy's been great the last couple days.
Yeah.
Yep.
Six hits, I think, in the last 2 days and a home run yesterday.
And he says he's feeling better at the plate than he has in a couple years.
I do remember drafting him in an AL-only mock draft that we're not playing out, but it just seemed like you get to a point where you're just drafting garbage players, and Murphy kind of stood out as like, not really garbage. And
maybe not.
Regular
maybe
enough
not.
Playing time.
Yeah.
And somebody we really didn't talk about, so. So there you go. All right, that's Wednesday's show. We got fantasy baseball today, the video show. I want to thank Al Melchior for introducing protein bars into my life. They've given me a new energy, and I'm fired up for life. Thank you for that.
It's for the good of the show, Al.
They're not meant to be your entire diet, Adam.
They're my breakfast.
They're supplemental protein.
They're my breakfast.
Oh, come on.
I never eat breakfast, so now I do.
It's an upgrade.
I had chocolate Lucky Charms for breakfast today,
wow.
So I can't really say much.
Excellent choice.
About breakfast choices.
And we're done for the day on that. Let's end it on that. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, everyone.